Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Are you prepared for the zombie apocalypse? In case of emergency, break glass and tune in to Joy 94.9 on a Tuesday night for Sci-Fi and Scream.
And welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9. Yes, it's going to be an interesting program this evening, that is for sure, definitely. Look, welcome to the show. This is Sonia. Bailey will be here as well doing the A to Z of horror this evening. But the reason I played that very earlier track across the universe was in support of a person that has been quite instrumental to Sci-Fi and Scream and unfortunately has passed away, Robert Bishop, that was dedicated to you. So from us here at Sci-Fi and Scream and Joy 94.9 and from all your friends as well, just a quote from Carl Sagan. For whatever Carl Sagan may have represented, he was still a fantastic science fiction writer as well as a scientist with a lot of progressive ideas. He says, "You're an interesting species." This is from Contact, written in 1985. "An interesting mix. You're capable of such beautiful dreams and such horrible nightmares. You feel so lost, so cut off, so alone, only you're not. See, in all our searching, the only thing we've found that makes the emptiness bearable is each other." Okay, now we have had some technical glitches here, and I did have a show that was going to be full of interviews, including with Adam Baldwin, which Dr. Emma Beddoes did with Supernova 2013. Yes, I had quite a bit on for tonight's show, but things have gone a little awry, and I know that doesn't sound professional, but it's been a really interesting week, I can say that much. So Across the Universe was a great song, and of course that was from music from the motion picture based on the Beatles, of course. Now we're going to have some more music from that. It's just going to be one of those evenings, I'm afraid. Sci-Fi and Scream, yeah, isn't quite used to this sort of production, but we're trying. I'm going to have Bailey, who normally does A to Z of horror, to chat with us. And Bailey, let's start with your A to Z.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Let's get into it. Because I'm going to have to do a few things right now, Bailey.
Yeah, cool, no problem.
Okay.
Fortunately, we've got a really, really big one up tonight. Well, like Sonia said before, we've got a few technical hiccups at the moment, so the intro theme is probably not going to be on tonight. But anyway, here we are. So tonight,
about that.
Yeah. Oh well. We'll get through it. It'll be a good one. So tonight, my A to Z of horror, we're going to go to F, and I'm actually really excited for this because it's a really, really big one. Friday the 13th. Yep. Absolutely massive series. The main killer is infamous. He's got a huge presence in pop culture, absolutely everywhere. Jason Voorhees being the killer. The first Friday the 13th, I watched all of them in about a week last month to kind of refresh my memory on it. And I actually hadn't seen many of them before. But the first one is actually not even Jason Voorhees himself killing all these random kids. It's actually Jason's mother, which is, okay, it might have been a little bit of a spoiler, but, you know, it was made in 1980. You probably already knew about that already anyway. It's fine. The sequel actually has Jason himself show up at the camp, just ransacking the place, absolutely killing everybody he sees. But this is his infamous hockey mask. It doesn't actually show up until the third one. And the third movie is kind of the weakest in the series. It's pretty bad. It was meant to be, it was in 3D, actually, in the theaters. But it's absolutely hilarious watching it on DVD. Because there's all these stupid 1980s, you know, just B-movie, terrible effects just flying at the screen. It's hilarious.
So how are we going, Bailey?
We're going all right. Not really sure where to go at the moment.
It's all right.
I'm just trying to give a nice general thing,
yeah,
but...
Look, I'm trying to. We're all trying. So if someone wants to SMS in, that would be really wonderful if someone would like to have a conversation here with us on Sci-Fi and Scream, which would be great. And tell us what you think of Friday the 13th. I mean, for an A to Z virgin... Or virgin,
yeah,
as Udo Kier would say. Out of all the Friday the 13ths, what would you recommend? Out of all those franchises, I know it's a big one.
Yeah, absolutely the first one, and probably the last one, or the 10th one. There's actually 12 in the entire series, which is pretty mental. I think it's the longest running horror series franchise, at least that I know of. 12 movies in the main continuity, plus a remake and a crossover. With Freddy Krueger from Nightmare on Elm Street. That was in 2003. Yeah, it was really, really strange movie. Because Freddy Krueger actually only kills one person in the entire movie. Meanwhile, Jason gets like 20 or something like that. But the sequel to the remake is not really going to happen, I don't think.
Okay. Yeah, a bit like some of these interviews. But we will be back in a moment. And that's just the way it is on Sci-Fi and Scream this evening here on Joy 94.9. And up next will be Adam Baldwin speaking to Dr. Emma Beddoes at Supernova 2013.
Hi, this is Dr. Emma on Joy 94.9 for Sci-Fi and Scream, and I'm here with the wonderful Adam Baldwin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you calling me wonderful.
Well, you are wonderful. You're a big name at this event. So, I mean, you've got Firefly, Serenity, also Angel for a brief period of time, Chuck, of course, which has become very popular, and even, I didn't realize this, but Full Metal Jacket. Yep. What was that experience like?
I got to work with Stanley Kubrick for about 9 months. Yep. It was originally supposed to be about 3.5 months, and it ended up being 9 months. We shot the whole thing in London, England, which is a surprise, because if you see the movie, you think, oh, they're in Vietnam, doing a Vietnam War movie, but it was all in London, England. They used this old bombed-out gasworks, and Stanley lit things on fire and moved palm trees around and let us run around in pretending to be Jolly Green Giants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That must have been a really cool experience. So you've played a lot of different characters, but I've noticed that a lot of them seem to be these slightly edgy kind of characters, but they're lovable at the same time. I was wondering, what is your favorite character that you've played?
Yeah, that's the trick. How do you balance the mean thug large person with a little sense of humor? And I think you just come from love. If you play the character with love, James Mason, the great British actor, he said, "I never played a villain," and so you have to approach it from that direction. It's really a toss-up. There are probably four or five characters I played that are close mile markers for me. One was my bodyguard back in 1979-1980. And then Jane Cobb from Firefly, and John Casey from Chuck, and Animal Mother from Full Metal Jacket, and a few things in between, X-Files and whatnot. But those are pretty much my favorites.
Okay, cool. Now, one of the characters that seems to be an enduring fan favorite is obviously Jane Cobb from Firefly.
Right.
It's one of those, you know, as you know, one of those cult shows. It doesn't matter how long it's been since the series. Everybody, the fandom is still just huge. I was wondering, why do you think Firefly has managed to retain such an amazing and dedicated fan base?
I have to give credit to Joss Whedon, the writer and the producer, creator. He puts it on paper and lets us play it on the stage and in front of the camera. Also, we were kind of under the gun from the get-go. We didn't really catch an audience right away, so everyone on the show realized that we were at risk of being cut off before our time, and the fans realized that as well. So they fell in love with it and have been loyal and dedicated ever since.
Yeah, they certainly have. It's amazing. I mean, the Browncoats have got a stall here again, as they do every year. If Joss Whedon ever had the opportunity to extend Firefly, do another series, or maybe do another movie, would you want to be involved again and play as Jane?
Well, Joss is the kind of boss that if he says jump, you ask how high. If he's willing to do it, it will happen. At the moment, I know he's very busy with the Avengers and other projects. So right now it's on the back burner, and it may never happen again. It may just sit there on a hill like Camelot and be that shining city or whatnot. And so whether it happens or not, we had that for the time, and it's important to appreciate it while you had it.
Yeah, definitely. And it leaves that glimmer of hope for the fans just to hold on to maybe one day.
Well, I think an animated series is something I would love to see, and that's something that could be done. It's just a question, I think, of licensing, but nothing like going into the sound booth and reliving your character.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I'd love to see an animated Jane. That would be really something. Now, one of the things about that character that's interesting in terms of what the fans have latched onto is the Jane hat. And I wanted to ask you something. I don't know whether you want to comment on this or whether you've heard about it, but a really interesting thing happened recently where fans who were selling homemade Jane hats were actually sent cease and desist notices because they were selling hats that looked like something from the TV series. And I wondered just what you thought about that.
Well, I'm not in the licensing game. I'm no lawyer or anything like that. I think that if you look at the sensibility of the show, the independents will continue to be defiant.
Yeah, exactly. And fans certainly will continue to be defiant no matter what. That seems to be the case.
I didn't know that you could copyright a knitting pattern.
Well,
apparently it's just the logo that is selling it along with Firefly. I think the hats will continue, but you know, it's a licensing deal, and the logos are owned and proprietary. But that's, like I say, I'm no lawyer.
Yeah, apparently the reason it happened is because they actually brought out an official Jane hat, which had never existed beforehand. And once that happened, yeah, all of a sudden it became problematic.
Now, where would they get that idea?
I don't know. Crazy, hey? I've actually seen a few fans around today wearing homemade Jane hats, yeah. which is pretty cool. Now, I've noticed in a lot of your roles, you seem to have really active kind of characters. You know, they're very physically active. And I know that in your spare time, you like to keep active with a lot of sort of different sports and hobbies and that kind of thing. And I was wondering, is that part of the reason that why you say yes to particular roles?
I enjoy riding bicycles and getting outdoors and play a little golf here and there, but it's just luck of the draw, really. It's
right.
Just been blessed to have been typecast, I guess, and it's a living.
It's a good typecast, though. The characters you play, like we've said, they're kind of rough around the edges, but very, very lovable. I mean, is it fun to play that kind of character?
Yeah, you get to chew the furniture. You get to play with props and shoot guns and run around on mules and whatnot. So I grew up watching Westerns and shoot 'em ups, my dad called them. And so it's kind of fun to get into those same kind of roles.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So how did you get into acting in the first place? What led you into this business?
I have been in drama class since fifth grade. And before that, I have older brothers. And we would goof around copying the Three Stooges, which is before your time and most of your listeners' time, but you know, we would try to play act as much as we could, and then just through high school got the opportunity to do a show called My Bodyguard, and that was my foot in the door, and that sort of gave me a career path and a life that I pursued, and it's serendipity, I guess.
Yeah, and here we are. Yeah. Could you ever imagine yourself doing anything else?
Shucks. Maybe coaching footy.
Right.
As he holds up a footy.
Yep. I see that. Nice one. That, listeners, was the sound of an AFL footy being slammed into Adam Baldwin's hand. That's something you'll only hear on Sci-Fi and Scream.
Sharon Kangaroo Brand. Yeah.
That's it. Now, I know you have lots of other commitments that you've got to get to, so we will wrap it up. Thank you.
The only way to be. On Sci-Fi and Scream.
Joy 94.9. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Yes. Now, that was Dr. Emma Burrows talking to the one and only Mr. Jane Cobb from Firefly and Serenity. And also, as he mentioned, he was in Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket. many moons ago, back in the 80s. So really interesting dude as far as actors go. He loves playing those very rough and ready sort of characters. So it was great to have him over here in Melbourne or Batmania itself for a very special convention, Supernova. That was a couple of weekends back. But unfortunately, we couldn't play that last week. And yay, we managed to play it this week, which is excellent. Bailey's giving the thumbs up too. And thank you too, Bailey, for jumping in there with the Friday the 13th. A to Z of horror.
I tried.
You tried and you did your best, and it's all we can ask here on Sci-Fi and Scream. And coming up next, we actually do have another interview. This time, it is with Mr. Russell Briggs. Now, this is an interesting fellow. He is one of the curators and organisers of something called Hollywood Costume, which actually opened last week, Wednesday the 24th, and is running all the way to Sunday the 18th of August. So that is quite some time. It's going to be a fantastic exhibition. If people can get along to that, would be wonderful. And he's going to talk to us in a moment just about, what is going on and some of the delights for geeks out there. If you love sci-fi and horror, you're going to love Hollywood Costume at the ACMI. Part of their winter series here in Melbourne. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. So this is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. I'm joined in the studio with Russell Briggs from ACMI, or the Australian Centre for the Moving Image, and they're presenting something very unique, Hollywood Costume, a Melbourne Winter Masterpieces exhibition. It starts 24th of April and runs to the 18th of August. Welcome to the show, Russell.
Oh, thank you very much for having me, Sonia.
What can you tell us about Hollywood Costume? I mean, you said that you had a little list there of things that might excite our listeners on Sci-Fi and Scream. Let's see.
There's 100 costumes in the show in total. And we've added a few Australian outfit that are in various parts of the building. But it's an amazing looking exhibition. It's come straight from the V&A in London. Melbourne's the first city to get it after London. And we had 250,000 people through in London, so we're expecting good crowds here as well. There's the costumes run across the entire history of motion pictures, so you've got things all the way back to Marlene Dietrich, all the way up to some very recent things. There, Daniel Radcliffe's outfit from Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, so it comes that recent. Yeah, and there's some great things for science fiction fans in there. I mean, I got really excited. And you've got the adventure side with Matt Damon's Jason Bourne outfit. There's the entire Addams family from the couple of Addams family films, which are really fun. Tippi Hedren in The Birds, which is a beautiful outfit. And there's even from 1936, Flash Gordon movie, Ming the Merciless.
Outfit,
which is really great.
How bizarre.
So it really runs across the board. The usual suspects. So there's Neo, there's a Terminator, there's Batman from Batman Returns. Mm-hmm. There's Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman outfit. We've got a Spider-Man and a Superman. It goes on and on.
Okay, so look, there's a lot of stuff there, genre stuff that our listeners would really enjoy. Now, I'm curious about the Tippi Hedren one from Alfred Hitchcock's Birds. Mm. Does that include any birds, any tangled hair?
No, they've done a really nice thing with the way that they're presenting the costumes, and there's a couple of different strategies across the exhibition to make it seem as fresh as possible as you keep seeing through it. But none of them are on mannequins.
Actually.
Yeah, and it's really done well as a result of that. So you don't get that sense of artificiality. They're either on forms, headless forms, or in the case of the large last gallery in the exhibition where it's very dense with costumes, they've used a bit of technology and done screens of the characters that are back projected and the small screens right above the outfits. And then as you watch the screens, the characters' facial expressions change kind of in real time, very slowly. So there's a sense of distance from the artificiality of the technology, but then there's a sense of connectedness because you can see facial gestures in it. It's really a fascinating way of portraying costuming as being part of the character. We've got the senior curator who put the show together, whose name is Deborah Landis. She's the wife of John Landis, the film director.
I was about to say, a name like that, that's got a Hollywood tradition there.
It does. Yeah, so it's a first family of Hollywoods coming to visit us. And John is coming. He's coming to support Deborah and support the exhibition.
That is fantastic.
We're not doing a separate program with him, but it would be fantastic to welcome him to ACME. But she's the star of this. I mean, she spent almost 7 years working on this. She was getting her PhD from the Royal College in London, and this was, you know, this is her life's crowning achievement so far, but she's had an amazing career as a costume designer. She did Michael Jackson's Thriller, she did the Blues Brothers, she did Indiana Jones for Spielberg, and a lot of other well-known movies, a lot of the ones that are
Raiders of the Lost Ark, I believe.
Yeah, it was Raiders that she did.
Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Yeah, so the famous red coat, which unfortunately we don't have in the exhibition, but she's had a great career as a costume designer, and now she's kind of the sort of the senior spokesperson of the art and the craft. Ooh. And is a professor at UCLA in Los Angeles, the most prestigious costume design program I would think in the world. And ooh, she's the chair of this small department. We went out and visited her just before the Academy Awards and saw her host discussion with all the Oscar-nominated costume designers. And she's just fabulous. If any of your listeners are particularly interested in design, she's going to be giving a keynote address on Wednesday afternoon. And we hope everybody will come down to Acme and see. And she's going to do a book signing afterwards. She's really fantastic. But the winter masterpieces are starting to stretch out fairly long nowadays. People realize that when you bring something that's this complex and this expensive a show down to Melbourne, you want to have it open as long as possible.
The main image that we have is obviously the iconic, the very famous Judy Garland pose and picture from The Wizard of Oz in that outfit.
Well, that particular one was picked up from the sort of hero marketing image that the V&A used as well. So they zeroed it on that outfit just as we did. And it looked so good in their materials that it was almost kind of a no-brainer to use that one. Mm-hmm. It's really funny because when you see the dress in the exhibition, it's so modest and it's so small, and it works beautifully as an image that's evocative of sort of the golden age of Hollywood, but also something that's just so iconic.
People know it. People know Dorothy. They know the red shoes probably comes a second after the actual image of Judy Garland, and that dress, that modest dress you mentioned. If you see that hat, I don't know if you've got the hat from Raiders of the Lost Ark, but you're going to go, yeah, the hat of Harrison Ford. People just know.
Yeah, automatically.
Automatically.
I have to leave a couple of things as a surprise.
Okay. But that just shows you the power of, dressing up, of costume.
Yeah, no, conventions like Supernova and Armageddon in New Zealand have
Manifest would
amazing,
be another one.
amazing costumes. And it does show how much you can enter into a character's existence just by starting with the outfit.
Well, for you, what is your highlight out of this exhibition? Is that too hard?
Well, I'll give you two. One purely on aesthetics is John Lone's outfit from The Last Emperor. The other one is Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman outfit.
Fantastic. It sounds fantastic. And my mind's just going, wow, I wonder if it's got that costume and that one. And just the ones that you've mentioned are pretty special.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you anymore. But there's at least another 80 that I haven't mentioned. So, and there's some really, really great things in there.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah. Now, Russell, before we do wrap it up, just want to say, you know, how wonderful it is to be able to chat with you about something that I think the inner geek of us all appreciates, and that is COS, a bit of COSY. It really is wonderful. That is true.
This is Deborah's first time down here, so she's quite eager to meet young costume designers and talk to them. And
exciting. Well, thank you so much for talking to us on Sci-Fi and Scream, Russell Briggs.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Sonia. It's your father here. Your mother called you the other day, but you didn't bother calling back. Listen, love, we're a bit worried about you. We got a call from your doctor. He says you haven't been attending your appointments. Now, Sonia, you know that you've got a bit of an unhealthy obsession with horror movies. And the science fiction stuff, too. It twists minds, Sonia. It's not healthy, it's not normal, and it's not right. If you could call your mother, please, and tell her how you're going, and please start going to your appointments. Sonia, who knows what could happen if you don't change your tastes? Why don't you just try and enjoy a nice romantic comedy every now and again? Maybe one with Katherine Heigl, like your mother and I do. All right, love, we'll see you Christmas. And if not, the Christmas after that.
And don't forget your appointment with Sci-Fi and Scream every Tuesday night at 10 p.m.
Groovy.
Groovy, all right. Ha ha. The Evil Dead. Or should I say Evil Dead? The Evil Dead. Well, we don't know for sure, but this is Sci-Fi and Scream, definitely on Joy 94.9. You're here with Sonia and Bailey. Welcome again, Bailey.
Thank you.
Friday the 13th was a lot of good luck, wasn't it not?
Astounding luck.
We won't go there. And then we heard from Russell Briggs, of course. Hooray for Hollywood, Hollywood costume that's on at ACMI at the moment. So thank you, Russell. We'll hopefully have him around again later on during the season because he is a big Firefly Serenity fan and a bit of a Star Wars man too. So that sounds good. All right. Now, hooray for Hollywood. That was Brady Bunch, the Brady Bunch, but we did something a little bit naughty with them. And The Evil Dead, Groovy, the sound of a chainsaw, which I think, without the chainsaw, where would The Evil Dead be? I mean, Bailey, I'm talking about the original films, of course.
Probably,
your thoughts?
Probably lying in a ditch somewhere, forgotten.
But don't they do unique things? I mean, the Raimi brothers, Sam Raimi did great things with chainsaws in the first three films. I'm not sure about the one after that, but it was definitely very colourful and lots of blood, lots of guts.
Second one had the most unique chainsaw that I've ever seen, probably in a movie, which is basically chainsaw for a hand.
Yeah, it reminded me a little bit of, what is it, Planet Terror, Robbie Rodriguez's Rose McGowan.
Yeah, she's got a machine gun leg.
And what's wonderful about Rose McGowan, of course, is that she was at Supernova 2013 as well, but unfortunately we didn't get to chat to her, which was a bit of a shame.
That's disappointing.
But the excitement has to be the Evil Dead franchise and its rebirth, its continuous reinvention. And now, with the upcoming film, I should do a drum roll, but instead I'll just say that this week, next week, I believe, Wednesday, Evil Dead rises again with... Is it a reboot? I mean, what exactly are we calling this?
It's... I've been kind of keeping my ear to the ground for a while for this, and it's sort of... It's a reboot, remake, prequel, sequel, all at the same time.
Okay.
If that... okay, that doesn't really make sense. That doesn't make any sense at all. Come on, stop lying. It doesn't make any sense at all.
No. Well,
but apparently it is actually set in the same universe as the Bruce Campbell Evil Dead movies.
Yeah, Bruce Campbell, of course, is known to a lot of Kiwis, naturally, because he did work on the Xena and Hercules a lot and even directed some of the later Xena television, actually. So The Evil Dead, it is the American horror film franchise created originally by Sam Raimi, who went off to do the early Spider-Mans. Now,
let's not talk about them.
We're not going to go there. We've already done that anyway. So Ash Williams, played by Bruce Campbell. The original trilogy includes Evil Dead, that came out in 1981, Evil Dead 2, 1987, and then The Army of Darkness, which was, just like a blunderbuster in the head, 1992.
I
enjoyed both, all of them actually, both of them.
My favourite is by far Evil Dead 2. And I watched Army of Darkness, Evil Dead 3, not long after Evil Dead 2, thinking it was going to be more kind of really dark, violent. And it got a really kind of goofy, fairly violent comedy action film. And I was like, I'm going to pretend I never saw this. And then I watched it again recently because I did Evil Dead for my A to Z a while ago. I think it was
D. For what?
Deadites, which are the zombies. But we've covered them on a previous show.
Yeah, we've done that.
Anyway, so I rewatched all the Evil Deads to kind of refresh my memory of that. And I watched number 3, of course, and I changed my mind. I love it. It's fantastic.
Well, I'm looking forward to what happens next Wednesday night because we're going to be there. We're going to be at the very first ever midnight screening of The Evil Dead.
The remake, reboot,
the whatever thing. You call it. The Thing for this year, 2013.
Not The Thing, because The Thing is an actual movie.
I know.
Actually, it's two movies because
it's three.
There's another kind of remake, reboot, prequel thing called The Thing as
There's
well.
Three things, actually. Oh. But anyway, that's more sci-fi, is it? I don't know.
I don't know.
Now, we do, of course, we will be there at Nova with our Evil Dead eyes on, we'll be getting ready with the mad talking, what do you call it, deer's head and all the animals.
Yeah.
Have you seen that in the original 1981?
Where all the
animals become possessed.
Oh, yeah, and they all laugh at Ashley when he's losing his mind.
Well, he's probably just losing his mind, of course, no doubt. And I mean, that's just fantastic. And yep. you've got probably the most amount of blood since ever. Buckets and buckets of it.
Yeah.
Fake blood, of course.
Oh, that's disappointing.
So we'll be chatting to people next Wednesday night.
After the movie.
After the movie, to see what their responses are.
I'm quite excited for that.
We may have to edit some of those, but that will be good.
We need some kind of a lookout, like a way to spot us easy, you know?
I think Ralph. Now, please explain who Ralph is. You have to remember Ralph. This is radio, so you need to explain what the Ralph is, Bailey.
Ralph. Well, he's a plush octopus that he pretty much lives in my bag, and I take my bag everywhere. So this octopus goes everywhere with me. And during every single show, Ralph is just sitting on my shoulder just for kind of a little bit of support, you know?
Aww. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with Cthulhu?
No.
Or however you
Sadly
say it.
Sadly not. Nope.
For those who are science fiction horror fans out there.
So if anybody out there is currently listening and will be going to the Evil Dead Midnight launch debut at the Nova, I reckon I'll have Ralph out. He's a little plush blue octopus, probably a little bit bigger than a fist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's an octopus. I don't know how else you can describe it.
Yeah.
But just look out for a plush blue octopus and that'll be me and Sonia.
With a microphone.
Yeah.
Because it is the only place that's going to be, at the moment that we know of, that will be playing this film, which apparently we're not growing up to be able to see before 12 midnight. So, Evil Dead, can't wait for that one. And speaking of Friday the 13th, here's a bit of music. We don't want to go
that
back
was
there,
smooth.
Do we? Friday the 13th, this is from the official soundtrack, going right back, 1980.
80-something. The first one was 1980.
Yeah, 1980. And this is A Little Sparrow. Sail away, little sparrow. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy in 94.9.
It's very embarrassing because it's over a very delicate part of your body. I'm very sorry. 9-9. Hello, I'm Peter Davison. Hello, I'm Peter Davison. I can't even say my own name now. Hello, I'm Peter Davison. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
That was Peter Davidson. Dr. Number 5 was alive and he was at a convention thanks to First Contact Conventions a few weekends ago. It was wonderful to see two doctors, Number 8, Number 5. I'm going backwards, but there you go. And the wonderful Janet Fielding, or Jovanka. She was one of the companions, one of the many beautiful companions that you find in the Doctor Whoiverse. Now, Friday the 13th, that was from the way back, 1980 soundtrack.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. But we're just thinking, what is coming up on Sci-Fi and Squeam? We've got a review not far away about the new Star Trek film.
Aha. Star Trek.
I did say that.
You said Star Trek.
Or track. It's Trek, isn't it? Trek.
Trek.
My terrible accent. Now, Into Darkness, 2013, by J.J. Abrams, who, of course, you mentioned off here, Bailey. What else they filmed or directed?
J.J. Abrams is actually doing the new Star Wars movie as well. Star Wars 7.
Star Wars Disney.
Yeah.
Princess Leia.
Yeah.
As a
best Disney princess ever.
We hope so. Let's hope she kicks something around and not just a Wookiee. Well, that would be cruelty to Wookiees, and we do not condone any sort of cruelty to the Wookieeverse, Wookiees, or whatever they are, Wooks.
Wookiees. I think
is it more than one Wook? Sorry, is it more than one Wookiee or Wookiee? Or no?
No, they're just Wookiees.
They're just Wookiees. They just walk around being big and furry.
I don't know.
There were a few at Supernova, actually.
Really?
Yeah. We're in Rebel Alliance fighter plane, or what are they called? X-Wing pilot outfits.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it must have been hot. Hot and furry, Wookiee.
Are you sure they were actually like in costume and they weren't just, you know, hairy fans?
Yeah, look, furry or hairy fans, part of the bear community, you just never know, do you? Also, what's coming up, we've got, we'll just briefly mention that you're going to be looking in the A to Z world of horror for those beginners and those virgins out there.
Yeah.
What are you going to cover for the next letter, which is G, isn't it?
Yep, F was tonight, so G is going to be, I don't know, next week, the week after, whenever.
And?
Yep, it's going to be George Romero.
Oh, okay, nice.
Pretty much defined what zombies are.
At least the shuffle. The zombie shuffle,
yeah.
That is.
Yeah, I get, yeah. But he pretty much defined what zombies are and how they behave in modern society.
Are you a fan? Of Romero, I mean?
Not particularly, but I strive for education as well as recommendations.
Fair enough.
Yep. Just because I'm not a fan of George Romero doesn't mean, you know,
you can't appreciate the brain-eating zombie style of Romero.
Yeah,
yes.
His impact is very important.
Amazing. And not just zombie movies, but everything.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
All right.
Hi, this is Eric Vail, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on 94.9.
Hi, this is Vegeta, Prince of All Saiyans,
voiced by Christopher Sabat. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on 94.9. Your home for all the things you like and stuff.
That was especially for you, Bailey.
Oh, thank you.
Here on Sci-Fi and Squeam, we don't forget our friends. We just don't.
No.
They might run out of the studio and panic, but we try not to. And, of course, that is from...
American Horror Story, the theme song.
The theme song.
Yep.
It's not the theme song to the second series, though, is that right?
No, it is.
Altered a bit. Changed, they say to me. They changed it on me.
They changed it very, very slightly to kind of... emphasize some various climaxes in the song, but it's still the same song.
Ooh, all right, then.
Very subtle changes.
That's all right, then. We don't mind, do we? Or do we not?
I don't mind. I love that song.
And, we also heard from Marshall Orman, also known as a shapeshifter, doggy-style person from The True Blood.
That's pretty interesting. All right, then.
Okay. Season 4, I believe, 5. He's no longer with us, unfortunately, as far as characters go.
Oh, okay.
As a shapeshifter dog. Now, we've had a message in from Max who says he loves the show. He still enjoys it. That is extraordinary.
Thank you very much. We really needed that tonight, I think.
We did need that tonight because tonight was a very emotional thing. Very emotional thing. That's not the right... We've been talking about the thing and science fiction.
Maybe we should put a ban on the word thing.
Let's drop it.
Yep.
Let's just forget it. Because it has been a very emotional week for the Squeamer here, Sonia, on Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Yep.
A lot of things have happened. We've lost some wonderful people, a wonderful person, I should say, Rob Bishop, and we wanted to dedicate the show tonight to him, and it certainly has been random, and it very much...
Very sudden.
And very much the Bishop, really. It's very Bishop style, what happened tonight. There we go. So from all of us here on Sci-Fi and Squeam, we wish you a good evening and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks again, Bailey, for coming on board.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
And have a good evening all.
It's Sci-Fi and Squeam, Jim, but not as we know it.
Enjoy 94.9.
One station in all the world, a chosen station.
To boldly go where no show has gone before.
Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Tuesday night from 10 p.m.
On Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.